The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
When our annual passes expired in February, we did not renew them because of our displeasure with the way Disney has gone overall, not just on that particular issue, but on all their wokeness.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, that was a Floridian talking about her thoughts on, well, Disney. And believe me, they are going woke. I'll touch on this in a little bit. We can talk a little bit about what's happening. I don't know if you heard the latest coming out of Disney that you're not going to hear, you know, the terms boys and girls used anymore. They're going to do that. They don't want to offend, you know, somebody who may not be properly oriented. So they're going to go ahead and, I think, call the people dreamers. Clever title. Good title for it, you know, all-inclusive. But what are we doing, right? What are we doing as a country? You know, we can't identify gender. We can't identify sex. We can't, you know, we've got to indoctrinate kids when they're in kindergarten. Shame on us. Really, it's ridiculous. And Walt Disney would be turning over in his grave, but don't get me fired up on it right now. We'll get into it in a minute. I want to tell you, I was away yesterday. I got a phone call from my producer. I've been asking you to pray for him for several weeks now. About 3 weeks ago, on March 8th, his daughter came down with a brutal headache. Got so bad, they took her to the hospital. When they ran the scan, they found out she had a brain tumor. And after seeing the tumor, she had to have emergency operation, surgery, and they excised whatever they had to, and she began the recovery process. But within about another week, she was incredibly ill again. They took her from Texas, the state she was in, to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota, one of the best hospitals really in the world. And she ended up being scanned again. They found that now this cancer was unbelievably aggressive. It had spread through various parts of her body. It infected her lymph system, or it was in her lymph nodes. It was in her spleen, in her pancreas, in her liver, and she had 100 tumors. And within about 3 weeks, this girl was on her deathbed. So I got a phone call from my producer, Tom. I've worked with him probably 17, maybe going on 18 years now together. And that's a long time to work with somebody. Good guy, very beautiful family. And he told me his daughter was dying. And I was shocked. I never saw a cancer as aggressive as this. Never. Just totally blown away by the nature of it. So he says, would you mind coming and praying along with us here in the hospital? It would mean the world to me if you could be with us. And you know, this was probably 7 o'clock on a Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning, whatever the date was the other day. And I said, sure. Now, Tom is living in the state of Minnesota. I was down in the Illinois area, so I had to get in the car and hustle 6 hours or so, 5 hours, 5.5 hours to get out there. And I went into this hospital room, and it was an honor to be there, to be honest with you. It really was. A relic of St. Faustina had come by, and they prayed over her with it. And I actually brought what I believe one day will be a relic, probably a first-class relic, a piece of hair from her vice postulator for her cause, a man named Father Seraphim Mikulenko. And we have divine mercy in large part because of this man. And we prayed the chaplet, and we prayed the rosary, and we spent time there. She was an identical twin, and when her sister, who was also down in Texas, was able to arrive, I departed. But I had a chance beforehand. I was just so impressed by this family. I just want to give a shout-out, my condolences to the Siskevich family for their loss and for all the siblings, aunts, uncles, and everyone else that's affected by this. Death is a brutal thing. I mean, it's hard. It's sad. But at the same time, it's joyful. And the Siskeviches, the mother, I said to her, you know, you both inspire me. I mean, because their faith was unbelievable. The way that they embraced the loss of their 32-year-old daughter. I mean, she was young and vibrant. Was just overwhelming. She said, and Tom said to me too, we only have one question. It's why? You know, why would God do this? He says, we're going to be faithful to God. We're going to trust in God through all of this. You know, we're not going to doubt God. But you wonder why, right? You wonder why. And she says, you know, my daughter Anna discerned religious life. She discerned marriage. And apparently neither she was called to. And the mother says, tonight she will be in the loving embrace of the bridegroom. I had to let her go. I have to let her go to Christ. And just to think about a mother, a father, you know, letting their child go like that and remaining faithful. I said, you know, I try to be a faithful, trusting man. But, you know, I pray to God I never have to walk in those shoes because I would be angry, you know. I would question. I would wonder, you know, and yet they were steadfast. They were unbelievable examples of what it meant to be true, faithful, heroic Christians. And today they had to make a very difficult decision and take their daughter off of the support that she was on. And she passed away at 10:45 this morning. Same day that Terry Schiavo has passed away. I often think about that, another amazing death. But I'd ask you to pray for Tom, my producer, for his wife, for their children, for their family, who suffered just an unbelievable, unbelievable loss. So I was with them yesterday, back today, and of course we'll take we'll take a look at all that's happening in your world coming up here. Of course, we'll pray the chaplet in about an hour as well. But you know, I was just thinking about this on the ride back. I was praying chaplet after chaplet and rosary after rosary, just alternating between the two. You know, at the moment of death, the spirit rises out of the body. It's those who've had these near-death experiences say that when you die, you leave in full awareness, full consciousness. And there have been hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of millions, literally, of near-death accounts and experiences. Many recount that, you know, when they cross to the other side, you know, they see loved ones who've gone before them. They describe an indescribable glory, a beauty that words just fail to articulate. There's an astonishment at the brightness that happens on the other side. And they say that this light, the light of God, seems to shine everywhere at once. It's impossibly bright. It's like a million welder lamps all blazing once, but the light, you know, brighter than 100 suns, doesn't hurt your eyes. You know, it's well, St. Paul tells us, right? No eye has seen, no ear has heard the beauty that awaits us on the other side. And they say there's love. They're totally enveloped in love. And they say that love is greater than all human love put together. It's indescribable. It's wonderful. It's goodness, it's power, it's knowledge, it's love. That's what you encounter on the other side. And I was thinking about that because, you know, this girl Regina who passed away, she didn't commit to married life, to religious life. She gave herself completely to Christ, and today she is in that paradise. So it's an amazing thought. Maybe a little bit later I'll share with you more about what happens at the moment of death, what those who've crossed over have had to say, what the saints have experienced, what Scripture tells us. It's really an amazing, amazing science. But I would ask you for prayers for my producer, Tom. He certainly needs it today, and as does his whole family. Hey, in other news, and maybe I'll bring you up to speed on just a few things that are happening. As I was driving back, I was able to catch up on some of the latest, and the Biden administration is set to release about 1 million barrels of oil daily from our U.S. reserves. They're going to do it each day for the next 6 months. I know filling up my gas tank, how expensive it can be. I'm sure you're experiencing the same thing. And they announced this just hours ago, and it's an effort to relieve some of the inflation associated with the rising gasoline prices that everyone's experiencing, right? As well as to you know, combat some of the shortages that partly stem from Russia's invasion of Ukraine. But the way I heard it tagged, and I got to be honest, maybe I'm just tired. It was kind of a long night last night being up. You know, they're doing this in response to Putin's price, you know, tag, or however they say it, Putin's price hike. That's what it is, Putin's price hike. I mean, do they think we're stupid? Yeah, and I don't want to dismiss that. Of course, gas has gone up as a result of the war. There's no doubt. It's probably gone up about 75 cents. But on the very first day that the president took office, within the first hour after being sworn in as president of the United States, he shut down the Keystone Pipeline. I mean, it was totally, you could listen to some of the audio of what he says about making sure that, you know, that the oil industry cannot drill. You know, they just can't do it. And we're in a very compromising situation. I'm all about being green. I'm all about the environment. I'm all about being a good steward of it. We should be. But I do think there's a transition period. You can't cripple a nation. You can't compromise its national security. And I think that's what sometimes happens. So we'll see. We'll see. The president, again, 50 million barrels of oil to be released from our strategic petroleum reserve. So we'll see how that ultimately plays out there as well. Peace process or peace talks may be making some progress. This war in Ukraine continues to rage, and I was hoping that we'd see some fruit from it. We will from the consecration, but, you know, you can't trust what Russia has said. And I just say that because they said, we're not going to invade. These are military exercises, right? We're not going to do this. And then they do it. They said, we're going to back off of Kyiv. And, of course, we're seeing even greater retaliation there. There's still a lot of fighting going on in Ukraine. Let me bring you up to speed with a quick report from the BBC.
If there are finally small hints of optimism in Ukraine, it doesn't feel that way on the roads outside Kyiv. Here, the damage has been done. In this village, Ukrainian soldiers are on the ground having just retaken it from the Russians, part of a pushback that may have forced a shift in tactics from Moscow. After more than a month of fighting, many are weary. But for Ukraine's president, progress in peace talks does not mean it's time to relax.
Yes, we can call positive the signals we hear from the negotiating platform. But these signals do not silence the explosion of the Russian shells. Of course, we see all the risks. Of course, we see no reason to trust the words of certain representatives of a state that continues to fight for our destruction. Ukrainians are not naive people.
Until now, the strategically important northern city of Chernihiv has also been a target of the Russians. But Ukrainian and American officials are warning that Moscow's pledge to scale back its operation here, as well as around the capital Kyiv, could just be a tactic designed to mislead.
I'll continue to keep Ukraine, Russia in your prayers. I am still waiting to see the fruit of that consecration, and I have no doubt it will take place, and no doubt in my mind. Hey, I want to talk about something else. I don't know if you heard about Disney. As I was saying in the very beginning, they're no longer going to be using the terms boy or girl. They're going to use the words dreamer. They don't, of course, want to offend anyone who might be transgender or confused about their particular orientation. And, you know, I think a lot of Americans are frustrated by that. And I think as a result of this, I think Disney is really going to take a hit. Now, of course, they're a major corporation, you know, in terms of their content and programming. It's not just about their theme parks. But Disney was once, I believe, really a very reliable source of wholesome, innocent entertainment for children. You grew up on it, right? I mean, we all saw everything from Snow White to Dumbo to Aladdin. I mean, you name it. There's some great programs that are out there. But we're seeing controversy now after controversy coming out of Disney. The CEO, you know, he came out recently and he lambasted. He gave a, you know, he publicly condemned, really, the Florida bill that will protect children from inappropriate conversation about sexuality in schools. And there were some leaked videos of Disney employees just coming out. They bluntly stated their agenda to promote radical gender ideology to their viewers. This is their agenda. I'm not saying this. I'm not interpreting anything. These are leaked videos. These are Disney employees saying, look, our agenda is to promote radical gender ideology to our viewers. And then, you know, it leaves parents very fearful that the content that their kids are consuming is indoctrinating them. It is brainwashing them at best, endangering them really, really at worst. Let me share with you a little bit of audio. Patrick, my screen has frozen. Here's a little bit more on this story.
One of our execs stood up and said, you know, we only have a handful of queer leads in our content. And I went, what? That can't be true. And I realized, oh, it actually is true. We have many, many, many LGBTQIA characters in our stories, and yet we don't have enough leads and narratives in which gay characters just get to be characters and not have to be about gay stories. And so that's been very eye-opening for me. And I can tell you, it's something that I feel perhaps had this moment not happened, I, as a leader, and me as my colleagues would not have focused on. And going forward, I certainly will be more so. I know that we will be, and I hope this is a moment where, shoot, the 50% of the tears, sorry, are coming. We just don't allow each other to go backwards.
All right. That was the, I think it was Carrie Burke, I believe. She was the president of Disney's General Entertainment. And, she was thanking Christopher Rufo for publicizing the video out in the open. If you want to join us, feel free to dial in. It's 888-914-9149. Here to talk about this, give us some perspective on it. I want to talk not only about Disney, I want to talk about the latest with Chris Rock and so much more, Disney's wokeness. I'll even tell you what some teachers are saying. Is James Hurson, and he is a longtime friend of the show, as I like to say, a New York Times best-selling author and media analyst, a law professor, and I hope you'll follow him at his website, jameshurson.com, or on Twitter, at the Jim Jams, and it's good to have him back with us again. Jim, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Yeah, this is a tragedy because we're not just talking about just any old entertainment company when we talk about Disney. This company's about to celebrate 100 years in existence, you know, started in 1923.
Wow.
As a Disney Brothers, it was called, and a carefully honed brand that people have relied on all over the world. For, as you pointed out, wholesome, family-oriented entertainment. And they own ABC, ESPN, they own Touchstone Pictures, Lucasfilm, Marvel, they own the Star Wars franchise, all the Marvel films, the History Channel, Lifetime, and A&E. They have a 50% stake in that. They are by far the most powerful and largest entertainment company in the world that's ever existed.
Wow.
And what has happened is policies within the company have allowed an invasion of Disney by activists who became employees who most recently demonstrated their power by having walkouts and strikes over the president of Disney failing to oppose a duly passed piece of legislation in Florida. And they still want his head. That's Bob Chapek, the president of Disney now, the CEO of the entire company. They want him fired because he didn't act quick enough to oppose this bill that is lied about each day in the mainstream media as some sort of an anti-homosexual bill, when in fact, the bill is a protection bill for parents, and it's for the very reasonable, common sense idea that young children age 9 and below should not be exposed to sexual content, should not be sexualized. And it's talking about sexual education in general, but also, of course, you know, the kind of specificity that the public schools want to basically expose to young children. But it's the principle is that sex education, sexualization, understanding about gender, these issues are in the province of parents, not in the province of schools, and particularly not in the province of entertainment companies that produce content directed at children. And it's we thank Christopher Rufo because he's a great journalist, and the people that exposed particularly these Zoom calls where we see high-ranking people at Disney who are in charge of content, the one that you just played from a president of the entertainment, general entertainment division. And then we have a production coordinator. We have people basically stating that they're not doing this secretly, that they're going to target children with an agenda that is sexual in nature, that is offensive to the vast majority of people in this country and the vast majority of Disney's customers over the decades. And that's what I didn't mention. There are theme parks all over the world. And unfortunately, Bob Chapek, because he saw this revolt happening with his employees, he caved and then became ultra woke and came up with this new policy, which now is preventing employees, for example, at Disneyland and Disney World from greeting people as ladies and gentlemen or calling young children boys and girls. And I assume that's going to wreak havoc on their theme exhibits that deal with princesses, which Disney has become famous for, since Disney seems to have embraced a philosophy where, you know, you can't define a princess. So it's really, there's a comedy to it, but it's very tragic. Yeah. And of course, what it means is that parents have to no longer place any faith or trust in Disney programming, and especially not Disney Plus or their cable, the Disney Channel, which is, it's no longer trustworthy.
Yeah, you know, James, hold the thought. When we come back, we'll take a few calls. I want to follow up on that theme, too, because from where I sit, this is just a bad business decision, and I'll explain why. If you want to get in, the number's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Taking a look at, really, Disney going woke, not a surprise to a lot of people, but you can't use the terms, you know, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls in the theme park anymore. What's the world coming to? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This hour is sponsored by Ave Maria Mutual Funds, where financial goals are aligned with pro-life values and fund decisions are based on investment fundamentals designed to preserve and grow wealth without violating moral beliefs. More information at AveMariaFunds.com.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Get connected.
Five,
connected.
Four, connected. Three, two, one.
Good to be with you today. Thanks for joining me, getting you plugged into something that not only affects your kids, but really the money that you might be spending on some of the platforms that you are watching or streaming. Of course, Disney has they drank the Kool-Aid. I saw a great headline that says, you know, the mouse's mask is off. It's so true. Disney is so bent on diversity and inclusion and equity. They have come out, and there's been some video that's been leaked, that the company is no longer going to be using the words, because they're offensive, ladies and gentlemen. Does that offend you? Boys and girls. We're not going to do that in this theme park in order not to alienate transgender children. A lot of people saying, what is Disney doing? And I think a lot of Americans are tired of giving their money to woke corporations who actually hate them, who are poisoning their children, you know, who are harming them. They're trying to give their money to these companies that want to indoctrinate their children with radical race and gender theory. And it's just not good, especially when you're dealing with kids who are, you know, in kindergarten and first, second, third grade and beyond. I'm joined today by a Newsmax columnist, an author, a great professor and commentator. It's James Herson. He's with us again. Follow him at the Jim Jams. That's his Twitter handle. And Jim, I want to pick up on this point. I left off by saying I just think this is really bad business. And the reason I think it's bad business, if you look at the numbers, you know, culturally speaking, in 2017, and I think it was Gallup who did the poll. Patrick, was it Gallup or Pew that we were talking about earlier today? It was Gallup. Gallup did a poll in 2017. They found that across the spectrum, you know, the population of people who are LGBTQ plus or whatever it may be is about 4% of the population. So I always look at it the other way. See, that means 96% of the population isn't. That number's gotten larger by 2021 or 2022. Now the numbers are supposedly 7%. But I think that's in part due to this indoctrination and this confusion. When you tell kids what they are or what they should be, it just creates mass confusion. To the first point, the bottom line is, why would you offend 96% of your base to placate or be politically correct or diverse in terms of the 4% that's out there? I don't understand the business decision behind this, the thought process behind that.
Yeah, it makes no sense from any kind of business understanding. Exactly. Your customers, a vast majority of your customers, are not only going to understand this, they're going to be offended by it. And it makes no sense. But the shareholders of Disney, a lot of the shareholders, are these big hedge funds. And many of the people that run those hedge funds, unfortunately, they're not operating on a playbook of good business. And so some of there's a good part of the shareholder community of Disney that probably thinks this is great, that they're taking this kind of compassionate stand, but which is anything but compassionate. Right. But the public, in my view, and Disney would deserve this. This is a slap in the face to their customers. This is insulting to the brand. It is also insulting to the founder of Disney, Walt Disney, who had a vision for this company. And so they deserve to have their profits go down, deserve that the value of shares of stock go down. And I think they will. I think you feel that too.
Absolutely.
One of the things that the previous president of Disney, Bob Iger, wanted to do, he saw the handwriting on the wall that streaming content was the emerging entertainment, preferred style of entertainment, and Netflix was the big threat. So he really put all of his efforts into building up Disney Plus, a streaming service to compete with Netflix. Yeah. I think there were people canceling Disney Plus in droves. I think Disney Plus is going to fail miserably, because the reason that Disney Plus got subscribers is because of the brand. And this is a company represented by a cartoon mouse. It was basically sold to the world as something that treasured the innocence of children.
Right.
And we know, as Catholic Christians especially, the preciousness of God's gift of innocence to children. As a matter of fact, our blessed Lord tells us to be like them, to be like this precious innocence. And so the idea that parents would want to protect their young children, their kindergartners, first graders, second graders, third graders, from being indoctrinated with this gender ideology, I mean, it's of course parents are going to do that. And so, yes, I think it's a terrible business decision. And, you know, I think there are people, I saw somebody put a message on social media, short Disney, quick, you know, short it, meaning
smart. That's smart.
Sell the stock short.
That's right.
And so I think that there's some people that understand this, but unfortunately, this has been in the making for many years.
I saw Disney's corporate president, a girl named Carrie Burke, said in another video that she'd like to see at least 50% of Disney's characters in the future identify as being LGBT or a racial minority. So they're all in on this, and I like that advice, short the stock. Let me take a few calls for you. We got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about Florida's new law, too, and how people were responding to that. Disney was responding to that as well. They didn't like it. Ed is in Vallejo, California. Ed, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Oh, nice. Thank you. You know, I'm 77 years old, and I was watching Fox News, and a lady on there, she was a gay lady that we were talking to, and she's against it. She said it's up to the parents to teach children, not the government, not the state, not the schools, should teach their children about sexuality, and not at that young an age. That's all I have to say. It's just,
Ed, I'm with you. You know, just to your earlier point, as parents, we're the primary educators of our children, and we need to instill those good values. You don't want to send your kid off to kindergarten. You don't want to send them off to first grade and have them indoctrinated. There was a Texas teacher. She came out recently and said that 20 of her 32 fourth grade students came to her as being LGBTQ. I refuse to accept that. 20 of her 32 fourth grade students are saying, hey, I'm LGBTQ. She was out of Austin. I think it was Austin's Independent School District there in Texas. And they hosted this pride parade for elementary schoolers, which the school principal gave it a different name. They gave it the name Wellness Walk. And this is the thing, James, that they do all the time. They co-opt language. You know, when you talk about killing a child in the womb, it's reproductive justice. You know, you have a pride parade for kids, you call it a wellness walk. So one teacher launched into a tirade against having a wellness walk during Pride Week. She says it takes away from the experience of celebrating pride. You know, I feel it's appropriate to call a pride, you know, our parade this morning, you know, for what it is, you know. She says the first pride was a riot, and that's not, that's the, she goes on to say, quote, it was not enough just welcome, love, or celebrate queer folks. She says, your allyship should always lead you to activism, speaking up and fighting for what is right, even when it feels uncomfortable. We can't choose in and out of our protest space. Teacher went on to say that, again, 20 of those 32 students came out as being LGBTQIA+, whatever all those numbers mean. I don't want my kids going to school. If I had kids in grade school through, you know, kindergarten through fourth grade or whatever grade she teaches, I think it's fourth, and indoctrinating them with that type of ideology, I think it's poisonous. I think it's bad. And I think you're seeing the byproduct of it. You're seeing the bad fruit when you have so many confused kids think that they're not the sex that they were born, you know, or that they're attracted to the same sex. There might be a percentage of them. It's certainly not 75% of them, as she claims. But your thoughts?
No, first of all, to your statement about language, it's so apropos for our time. You know, George Orwell wrote about newspeak, and yes, we take something that's monstrous and sort of disguise it with a euphemism that sounds like it's warm and fuzzy. And that's what they're doing with what is monstrous. To basically expose children, this reminds me of another movement across the country where they have young primary age children, aged 5, 6, 7, going to what is billed as drag queen story hour. So they have a man dressed up as a woman, an exaggerated woman in drag, reading stories to little kids and then cuddling them and teaching them dance moves and all the stuff that somehow this monstrous concept is sold as being tolerant and compassionate. And similarly, what the Florida law is trying to prevent is for people to teach very controversial sexual-related topics to children that are, it's completely inappropriate for their age group. Parents generally, first of all, parents and the Catholic Church teaches this, that is the basic right and duty of parents to handle sexual education, meaning to tell their kids when the time is right and when it's age appropriate about reproduction. But if they go beyond that, of course, in spreading this non-binary gender agenda, which the vast majority of parents disagree with at any age. But the idea of teaching it to these young children is, in fact, a form of conditioning. And that's why we see the numbers going up. There's a group, the same group that wishes to give puberty-blocking drugs to primary-age children because they need to be able to think clearly of choosing a gender as opposed to the gender that God gave them. This is a very twisted kind of movement that Ron DeSantis and the Florida legislature, through a duly enacted bill, seek to prevent parents to preserve the rights of parents and to preserve the innocence of children. And so we know that safeguarding children is one of our main duties as a civilization and society. We also know that doing harm to children is something that is a very high-ranking wrong. And so we want to fight that as best we can. By the way, I just want to mention this. What I've heard parents are doing is that they're canceling out, like, Disney Plus. They're getting rid of their Disney stuff. And they're going online. They're buying DVDs. They're going back to an older technology, getting stuff and vetting it and checking it out. But if it's older, it doesn't have this agenda shoehorned into it. Mm. There's also a streaming service called PureFlix that is something to take a look at. The Daily Wire is planning to come out with a counter programming to Disney. I think there's going to be a kind of a movement, not just to turn off Disney, but to turn on edifying, wholesome, and positive content for children.
I agree. I think the pendulum can only swing in one direction so far, and then enough will be enough, and then we'll come back. You look at the defund the police movement, that went way too far. Now you see the funding that's now being put in legislation, what the president is now saying, how people are changing their tune. This can only go so far, and the parents are going to speak up, and they're going to make a difference. When we come back, let's grab some calls. If you're on hold, I'll try my very best to get you on. If you're just joining us, we're taking a look at Disney. No longer using the words ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. They don't want to offend anyone. And going completely woke here, parents are saying enough is enough. I'll also fill you in on what that don't say so-called gay bill, that's not what it's about at all. Give you some clarity on that because it's tied into this as well. All right? We'll talk about that and more. Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Get informed and get connected. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good afternoon. Coming up in about 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, we'll be praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Hope you can join me for that. Tell somebody else, especially if you need prayer, we'll do that. If you're just joining me right now, we're pulling back the veil, trying to shine some light on what is a great deception of our day. And that's this hidden, maybe not even so hidden anymore, the indoctrination of our kids with this LGBTQ plus agenda. And Disney's going all in. You know, they want, as I was just sharing a few moments ago, they want 50% of their characters to be gay, you know, in the not too distant future. There was one teacher I heard about. She was a kindergarten teacher now. Kindergarten. I remember my first day of kindergarten, how afraid I was to go, right? And how big the world seems, right? Here's this teacher teaching these kids who are so malleable, so formative, right? She reacted to the news that the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, signed legislation banning, you know, classroom discussion of sexual orientation and gender identity for kindergartners, right? For kindergarten through third grade. That's those kids ages 5 to 9. Remember where you were like ages 5 to 9? You didn't think about this stuff. I didn't even know what it means. I had a friend the other night. I was having dinner with him. He says, you know, what's binary mean? What's cisgender? He's asking me all these terms, right? I mean, you need a dictionary for this new lexicon that's out there, you know, for this all these new terms, these definitions that are out there. Very confusing. And now you're going to try to indoctrinate kids with this type of stuff. So let me just tell you very quickly about this teacher, and then we'll take your calls and get James's take on this as well. Teacher was upset because, look, the case is that educators, he said, we have to build relationships with the kid. In order to build relationships, you got to talk about your home life. You got to talk about what you do on the weekends. And it scares me that I'm not going to be able to have these conversations with my kids because they're going to ask what I did on the weekend. And I don't want to have to hide that my partner and I went paddleboarding this weekend. And then my kids will say, well, what does a partner mean, Mr. Bernard? And the teacher says, you know, can I tell them what this means? I'm worried about, you know, potential a situation which a child will ask me, you know, one of his kindergarten students who he says has two moms. If they go to her and ask about two moms, what does she say? See, this is where, again, you plant a bad seed, you get bad fruit. And this is it. Now you got two moms. You've got all this gender confusion. So the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, he put forward a bill. And I just want to state just a sentence out of it, just so you understand really what this is all about. Because it's been dubbed the Don't Say Gay Bill. I think even Amy Schumer during the Oscars was talking about it. Oh, we're going to say gay. Nobody's read this. They don't know what's in it, and they really mischaracterize it. The bill states this. It's a House Bill 1447. Classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through third grade or in a manner that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards. I think that's great, right? Don't you? What's wrong with that? That's fantastic. I'd like to send my kids off to school and know that, you know, they're protected by that. The bill's been misrepresented. People are dubbing it the Don't Say Gay Bill. Nowhere in the bill is the word gay mentioned. It's, again, a mischaracterization. It's co-opting words and using trickery to make people think it's something that it really isn't. The word parent, just for a juxtaposition to that, it's mentioned 32 times. The word parental is mentioned 8 times. And the legislation focuses on parental notification, parental awareness of what a child is being taught and exposed to in school. I say bravo. I don't know who could be against that. As a parent, you should know what your kid is being taught. I'm joined by James Hurston today, and it's always good to have him. Very gifted columnist, author, and professor. You can check him out at jameshurston.com. That's his website as well. James, I want your thought on this because you've got a lot. And I was driving in my car over the weekend, and I heard the other day, and I heard an NPR interview, Surfing the Dial, and they had somebody on talking about how horrible this bill was. It was such a liberal conversation. I couldn't believe it. And there's a lot of dialogue back and forth. And I don't know if I have time. I got some audio on this, but rather than me throw the audio, give me your take, and then we'll take a few calls.
Sure. I mean, there's a fallacy of logic called the straw man, where you set up a fake argument and then knock it down. That's what they're doing here. They're lying about the bill. They're claiming it is a don't say gay bill, which it is not. It's a bill to safeguard children and to protect parents. And I'm so glad, you know, you emphasize this age 5 to 9. A 5-year-old is incapable of managing information of a sexual nature. 5-year-olds are unaware, thankfully, blessedly unaware of sexual things, very minimally aware of gender. And this kind of stuff does not belong. It's in that age. It's not age appropriate, as professionals say. And so absolutely, this bill is just reasonable protection. It would not be necessary in the America of the past, where we had shared values. But we have a movement here that has infiltrated our public schools in particular. And instead of safeguarding children and safeguarding parents' rights, this group wants to trample on them. And so we need legislation to protect it. And that's why the Florida legislature was able to pass it, representing their population. The population of Florida, according to polls, supports it. And the governor signed it into law. Now the next battle, though, Drew, it's already started. It's in the courts. And so there's going to be judge shopping going on down there. Right. And inevitably, you know, we're going to see a judge strike down this bill before it's all over, and it'll go into the appellate system. But ultimately, this bill is perfectly reasonable and should be upheld.
Let's take a few calls, James. We have just a few minutes. My apologies to everyone who's been holding for a while to get in. Tom in Stuart, Florida. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. I just want to thank you for all you're doing. I am a Floridian, and my children are grown. And I really feel sorry for the parents that have to raise a child today.
Me too.
I strongly agree with this bill that's hopefully going to pass in Florida. And furthermore, as far as Disney is concerned, I don't think I would take my children, grandchildren, I don't think I would even go to that park if that's what they want to start indoctrinating into the children. And they should be held accountable if this comes to law, that if a parent goes there and they see these characters that are whatever they're being identified as, that parent should be able to either press a lawsuit on them, or Disney should be fined. And if Disney doesn't like it, they should move out of the state of Florida.
Well, Tom, thanks. You're actually speaking with an attorney today, too, because James Hurston is at. James, what legal recourse? I mean, Tom's saying, hey, what can parents do is fundamentally the question there. Do they have any legal recourse, or what can we do other than just boycott and not go to the Magic Kingdom?
Well, I mean, it would depend on the circumstance of somebody visiting a park like that. You know, if there was some sort of, that would be like a sexual advance or an assault or anything like that. But I think the best thing for parents to do, the best recourse, is to go somewhere else, to go to a zoo, maybe go to Universal Studios if they don't do this. I think Disney no longer deserves our business. And by the way, that includes ABC and ESPN and all of the Disney affiliates. I think parents should make it a point to, boycotts. I hate to use the word boycott.
I agree.
But We have to stop basically feeding the enemy.
I think you're so right. It's so hard to do. I know a lot of people have trouble doing that, but identify, you know, where the money's going, and in some respects, you're indirectly supporting it. Betty's in Sanford, Florida. She's got an interesting question for you. Betty, good afternoon.
Hello there. My point is this, if only 3 or 4% of the population is LGBTQ, then we have to, I think, look deeper at why it is that so many people in the educational system and at the head of these corporations have decided to go in the direction of woke and in support of the LGBTQ perspective. There must be a larger agenda or purpose behind it all, because it makes no sense that they would have taken up this banner of LGBTQ for such a small percentage of the population.
Betty, I asked that same question. It's such a great point. James, I've got less than a minute. I'm going to give you the final thought.
Okay, and Betty brings up a great point. You know, we've seen our institutions basically go woke. And we know they've been infiltrated. It's been a very intentional, willful infiltration to try to change their philosophies. And we have to respond in kind. We have to take back these institutions. And we've seen it all over. We've seen it with the teachers union, with the education, with our political institutions, with the media, with the entertainment media. And that's why I think the more parents that seek alternatives and basically refuse to do business with these entities, the better it's going to be.
My thanks to James Hurston.